The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's Good Friday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt. We join you live poolside in Las Vegas. We're at the MGM Grand. It is a beautiful day here. The laps are starting to be swum by the swimmers. The basketball last night was terrible. It was brutal. It was awful. If you're an Arizona State fan, it was an absolute disaster. If you're a University of Arizona Wildcat fan, it was terrific. So we're going to talk about last night's games a little bit. Bill Frieder's going to swing on by here. Westwood One analyst, former Arizona State Sun Devil coach. Always good to catch up with Frieds. That'll be in about 10 minutes. And Dan Marley is going to join us, Thunder Dan, up here in Vegas as well for the Western Athletic Conference Tournament, the head coach at Grand Canyon. We'll talk some hoops with Dan. And Goody at the Movies, Bill Goody Koontz with Grand Budapest Hotel coming out. Looks very good because there's much more to life. You'll have all the sports you want. If you need to take her to see a movie, just a pacifier, you know, that's what Bill comes along for. And Bill's team, Wofford, is going to the tournament. So we'll have some fun with that. Eric is here with us, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. This morning, we have already killed the Grand Buffet. Eric already went into the sports book. How much money did you win yesterday?
Oh, not enough to retire.
Yeah.
But I won more than I lost, so that is a good thing. And there's still some games to be bet today, so we'll see. I mean, Vegas always has the last laugh, and they always have the last word. So for now, I'm on the plus side, but again...
Are you way up on the plus
side? No. $35, $45. I bet in small increments. That way I don't feel bad if I lose. And it's fun. But I mean, you're in Vegas. You have to bet some games.
But aren't you going to go to the point of enough of this candy stuff? You know, enough of this nickel slots. You know, put down a hundy.
Nah.
Why would you put down a hundy tonight on U of A?
Nah. I don't know what the spread is. It's 11. I do know. Who am I kidding? But U of A is absolutely owned Colorado, and if they play anything like they did yesterday, they'll cover that 11 points because, you know, Colorado is playing their third game in 3 days. You know how that goes.
Right. So. Usually it doesn't go well.
No.
So Bill Frieder here in about 10 minutes, and then Dan Marley and Bill Goody-Koontz. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains just outside of Pine Top. Yeah, I'm sitting here at the MGM Grand in Vegas. You're in Arizona and you want to get up to the high country and go to a great casino and hang out and have some fun. You go to the Honda Resort and Casino. Again, just outside of Pine Top. Great weekend to be up there in Pine Top. The weather is turning. I'm sure the golf courses before long are going to be opened up. You know, the fishing and the hunting before long is going to be getting going. Spring has sprung. Although I wouldn't mind one big winter storm to dump some more snow over on Sunrise, but that's just me. The Honda Resort and Casino, they've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. We also want to thank our sponsors for the coverage up here in Vegas. Diamond Resorts, staying at the Polo Towers, great place to stay when you're here in Vegas. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy, and of course, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Dan Marley here in about 10 minutes. Dan Marley in about 20 minutes. Bill Frieder shortly thereafter. So let's start with Arizona State last night. The Sun Devils were just awful. You know, you fly all the way up here and put in the effort to put shows together, and then you have to take in a train wreck like last night where Arizona State, there was all this conversation about, well, Jahi Carson plays really well in Vegas. He's so impressive. He's Mr. Vegas. Last night he was shut out in the first half, didn't do anything. And in the second half, this game was essentially over. I saw Jordan Baczynski get into it with Jonathan Gilling on the court. Fingers to the chest. And you just cannot have that this late in the season. And then you get the apologists who say, well, you know, it's just one of those games. No, it's not. This team has not won on the road since before they beat the U of A. And when they beat the U of A, there was this, oh my gosh, beating the U of A is the greatest thing ever. No, it is for a program that's mediocre at best. You charge the court at home when you do something that's not expected, and since then they haven't done anything. So last night was just awful, just awful. They shot 39% from the floor. There's nothing good. Here's Jordan Baczynski on this argument with Gilling. We talked with him after the game. Here's Jordan Baczynski.
He's competitive and he wants to win. And you know what? At that point, it's kind of what I needed. And he, me and him we've been together for a while. And so, yeah, I mean, we're going to get in each other's faces. We're a family, you know, and there's never a family moment without drama. And sure. He was just trying to help me out. It wasn't malice. There was no malice. There was no ill intent. He really wants to win and he wants to get guys going. And that's what he was trying to do for me.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. Bill Frieder comes up next. Much more from Las Vegas. A little early. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ from Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. Bill Frieder on the other side, then Dan Marley as we continue on. Stay with us.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports 360 AZ.
Back here in Las Vegas, Brad Sussmat live at the MGM Grand, poolside, Westwood Ones. And I would say our own in Arizona's Bill Frieder joins us now live for a couple of minutes. Westwood won tonight. He will have both the semifinal games here at the Pac-12 tournament. Let us start with yesterday. You want to go with the ugly first, which was Arizona State, or the really, really, really good, which was U of A? Pick it. Which way do you want to go?
Well, we'll start with ASU, and I'll qualify my statements by saying that Herb and I are great friends. Herb and I go back a long way. We cemented our relationship in 95 when he beat Arizona at Miami of Ohio.
Okay, I remember that.
And I remember calling him, congratulating him, and telling him it was huge for us because we never go further very often than Arizona in the tournament. But we were going to do it this year, and that was our Sweet 16 year.
Yeah.
So, but Herb and I are great friends. His family and I are great friends. But having said that, I'll tell him the same thing. I'm disappointed. This team, to me, was a quality team. They had the league leader and shot blocker, rebounder, defender, and the big fella Baczynski, a quality guard in Jahi Carson, and a great shooter in Marshall, plus some others back from some experience. So this team, I thought, would be a great basketball team, would do well in this tournament, and I thought they'd win at least a couple in the NCAA tournament. Now I don't know. They just kind of come and go and have great games and bad games, so I'm a little disappointed.
Is there something beneath the surface when a team is so Jekyll and Hyde that you just can't see? You can win at home over Cal and Stanford a couple of weeks ago, but then you can't win on the road to save your life. Is there something beneath the surface when you have teams like this?
You know, there could be, and we saw a little bickering on the court the other night. That was evident to everybody, and obviously this is a stage of the game that can't take place. The team has got to come first. It's the team. So I don't know specifically.
Sure.
You know, the only guy I could tell you that is probably Herb and his staff or the players.
But in general terms, Bill, when you see a team that does that, I'm not even asking specifically about ASU. It's just when you see teams this point of the year that are so Jekyll and Hyde, that's where I look at it and say, gosh, there's something going on here. So are they a 10 seed? Are they a 12 seed? Because they're certainly not an 8 or a 9 anymore.
No, they're probably going to be a 10 or 11. And, you know, I'll tell you, a team just like them this year, and I was disappointed in their performance, and that was Cal. You know, they had the big win over Arizona, and they went in the tank, and they had no enthusiasm yesterday, and Montgomery just sat there. He didn't try to spark some fire into his team, and they just were completely out-hustled in the first half and then couldn't get back to win the game. But it's funny, but it's a tough job. You're dealing with kids, and who knows what they're all going through. And I've got my well-documented problems with kids. But the one thing that my team always did was played hard.
Yeah, yeah.
We played hard, and we were ready to play. We were always focused, and we played our butts off. And I'm seeing teams in this tournament that don't play hard.
You know, Jahi, if you were to sit with Jahi Carson and look him in the eye and say, go or stay, what would you tell him?
I would say, you are not ready for the pros, young man. You need to be consistent. You need to go out. You know, Mario Bennett was a write-in player. I like write-in players. You can write it in advance what they're going to do. And he's not a write-in player. You don't know if he's going to have his 13 for 16 shooting or is 0 for 7.
I mean,
he's not a right-in player. If you're not a right-in player, then you're not ready for the NBA.
Yeah.
He needs to stay, and he needs to really work on it, the consistency of his game so that he is there every night.
Yeah, Chasen Randall last night abused him, I thought. Yeah. Defensively, he wasn't into it.
He was not into it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, you know, we saw this with Harden, you know, where Harden just quit in the Pac-10 tournament then. And so it's hard to figure out, you know. Yeah, you don't know if agents are talking to him and third party. You just don't know what's going on.
No, you're right. Feel free to with us, Westwood One. A couple of those questions, I'll let you go. I know your time is short. U of A, I can't think of a more dominating, just get out there on the floor, stick the foot on the throat, push down, take the air right out of them like they did yesterday.
Well, you look at U of A and you look at ASU, and it was complete opposites. U of A, you saw a team that was focused, a team that was telling everybody, we're number one seed and we're going to keep our number one seed. We're not going to lose it like Villanova might.
Yep.
And we're going to get ourselves ready for the NCAA tournament. That's what you saw in U of A. And they went out and defended. They were super, just terrific.
What is it that's different about the team this year? Is it McConnell, Bill, from a year ago, that they really have a floor general that they didn't have last year?
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, Nick Johnson has really come into his own. He's had a great season, and his play has been superb. But you alluded to it. McConnell came in as the floor general.
Yep.
He's the kind of the glue that can bring it all together, and he's been a stability factor out there. And then since the injury to Ashley, they've just slowly gotten better and kind of fill that spot, and they're getting something out of that spot now. Mm-hmm. They're getting something out of 7-8 players every game.
We're hearing a lot of nationally that this is a wide open year. It seems like every year we hear that more and more. You sit courtside and see a lot of great teams for Westwood One. Best team you've seen this year to this point is?
Well, probably right now, this last month of the season, Florida. Florida's a veteran club. They won 23 straight games. They were 18-0 in the SEC. They demolished teams like Kentucky. And right now they're playing extremely well. They got shooters, they got defenders, they got guys that can board, and they got a bench. So I would say right now they're playing the best. But this team is, or this year, I would say 7, 8, 9, 10 teams can win it.
Yeah.
That's it. There's 7 to 10 teams that can put a run together and win 6 straight. And Florida's one of them. Wichita State is clearly one of them.
You're a believer.
Yes.
There, don't
give me the schedule BS.
Okay.
This team lost to 4 in the Louisville a year ago in the Final Four. They beat Gonzaga a year ago, one seed. They demolished Ohio State in the regionals. And they got 4 starters back from that team. They're better offensively than a year ago. They play great defense, and they don't take a possession off. They're capable of running the table.
Before I let you go, because I told you I'm going to get you right out of here on time, you're going to San Diego.
Right.
You're going to see U of A probably.
I'll be there with U of A.
And then you'll probably see him in Anaheim.
I'll be there with U of A.
And then you'll probably see him in Dallas.
Well, I think it's a good chance. My column, WestwoodOneSports.com, Bill Frieder boxed out. Last April, my last column, I picked Arizona to play Kentucky in the finals. So I got Arizona right.
Yeah.
So they can. So I picked them to be a national finalist last year, and I think they have a good chance of getting there again.
Yeah, get out of here. Go do your
thing. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
Always good seeing you, Bill.
Always have appreciated you. Thank you, Brad.
That is Bill Frieder, Westwood One. Always good to catch up with Freeds. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Dan Marley, Thunder Dan Marley, Grand Canyon University. They're not eligible this year to be in the Western Athletic Conference tournament. They're on that probation. But nonetheless, Dan is up here. I actually understand that ESPNU, I think it's the U, is going to show the WAC tournament games, and Dan's going to be an analyst for like 2 segments.
Wow. He's got some experience doing that.
He does have some experience doing that.
I'm sure he can add some insight. He coached against all those guys this year.
So in the Bill Frieder chat, with Jahi being such a focal point and lightning rod, I'm using that word a lot this week. He's with Devontae Neal. I wonder what Jahi Carson is feeling today, and did he check out last night? Eric, when I'm watching him play defensively, there just was not a whole lot of urgency. And I had fans on Twitter that are sending me notes saying, Brad, he hasn't played defense all year. I would disagree with that. He's been spotty at best. And the whole narrative of, well, gee, he's going to tear it up in Vegas, that was a lot of wasted ink and paper that people were in time on the air. Oh, yeah, he tears it up in Vegas. No, he didn't.
He did last night, but he did last year in the tournament, and he did this year against UNLV, and I think that's what ASU was hoping for. And I know, you know, we were watching the game last night. We were both saying to ourselves, it's about time for Jahi to stop being playmaker and start becoming scorer, because it's double-digit lead, 11 minutes left. You're still in the game, but in the end, ASU was really never in the game. And they just looked – ASU looked like the tired team, not Stanford, and Stanford was the one that played the night before.
No, they look like the disinterested team. That's a problem that I have with today. That's a – look, I like Herb. I've had Herb on the show many times, but – if you're going to sit there and be cheerleaders and not point out that when a team is so uneven, that's a reflection of the coaches, too.
Yep.
You cannot just say, well, it's because the players didn't play. Coaches can only do so much. No, that's not true. If a team is Jekyll and Hyde, I think part of that falls on the coach. It falls on Herb Sendek. It falls on all the assistant coaches. They weren't ready to play again.
The Achilles heel came back to hurt ASU. What happens? The game starts last night. Before you know it, it's 9-0 Stanford. ASU crawls back, pulls within 3 at the half. Second half starts, same script as the first half. ASU falls behind double digits, and they never really had that run. And you got the feeling when it got to about the 10-minute mark, maybe they have a run in them. And then Stanford just basically did whatever they want. I mean, when you shoot, what, close to 70% from the field in the second half, you're not going to come back when you're playing that kind of defense.
But here's the thing, Eric. So, and I'm not going to sit here and do a whole hour and a half on ASU, but I do think this needs to be pointed out. What kind of confidence does Eric Jacobson have today? He picked up 3 fouls, was yanked after 2, came back in for his 3rd, never saw the floor again, didn't get back into the game at all.
The only part of the stat sheet where he had a number other than 0 was in fouls. I don't think he attempted a field goal. I don't think he had a rebound. Nothing. And what did he play, 3 minutes, you said?
Played 3 minutes. So then you go over to your other big, Jordan Baczynski, who had a grand total of 2 offensive boards on the night. Okay.
ASU got crushed on the glass again.
Crushed. They only had 2 offensive boards for the night. Baczynski missed 3 gimmies inside early in the game. So I actually kind of respect Gilling, even though I'm not a fan of Gilling, because Gilling turns the ball over. Gilling made a – they had a 3-on-1 fast break last night, and Gilling's on the right wing, and he throws a bounce pass that skipped up to Baczynski. So you're trying to do a bounce pass to a big –
who's running down the middle of the lane.
Who's running down the middle of the lane in a 3-on-2. And what happens? You turn the ball over. It was just decision-making by Gilling is what drives me crazy. Yeah, he shot the ball well, but if you watch them game in and game out, it's enough to just make you want to go drink something. Bo Barnes brought some energy. Gilling did bring some energy. My point in this is, if you look at Baczynski and his confidence level, it's probably about as low as it's been. Jacobson cannot have much confidence. Jermaine Marshall kind of looks old to me, to be honest with you. He's had a bad knee. He looks old. Meantime, I'm looking at U of A and the energy and the enthusiasm that's coming out of the Cats. It's not even close. It's not even close. U of A did what they were supposed to do. Arizona State didn't do what we expected, which was to be even competitive. They weren't competitive last night. Dan Marley on the other side, Goody at the movies, and much more as we continue on poolside at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, Arizona Central carrying us, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Live in Las Vegas, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, part of Arizona Central Sports as well with AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. At the Pac-12 tournament, where tonight U of A will be in action against Colorado, and ASU went home after they were just dreadful. They were awful with a capital A. There's no other way to put it. So they go back, and all expense paid to jet fuel that was a waste. And now they've got to figure out what happens on Sunday. There's no other way to put what happened here last night, a disaster. Meantime, on to better news. So GCU is not playing in the WAC basketball tournament. Year one of Dan Marley, though, is not done. I had some fans that say, well, it was a good first year for Thunder Dan. Well, we had Brian Mueller on earlier this week, and they're not done. They're going to find out their destination. Dan Marley joins us for a couple of minutes. He's here in Vegas as well. At the, are you at the Orleans right now, Dan, or where are you?
No, I'm at the Luxor. I got a buddy of mine who puts me up here, so that's good. And they have the semifinal games tonight starting at 6 at the New Orleans, so I'll be over there for those.
And the quality of basketball that you're seeing up here, are you just sticking over at your tournament? Did you bounce over to the Mountain West? Did you come over here? Are you taking it all in? Because it's a pretty crazy time up here, Dan.
Yeah, I saw a couple games for the WAC, and then I went and checked out the ASU game last night. So I'm trying to see as much as I can. You know, it's a good time to be in Vegas to watch basketball. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't be in a tournament, as you mentioned. So I just wanted to come here and get a feel for, you know, the WAC tournament and watch some of the teams play. And then I'll be doing a little thing on TV for the WAC for the championship game.
That's what I heard. You're going to put your analyst hat back on. You were pretty good at that back in the day, you know.
Yeah, it was fun. But I like the competitiveness of the coaching, so I'm glad I got out of that and I'm doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Dan Marley with us. So what is the game plan then for Sunday for you guys to keep playing? How will that work? Is it after the NIT is announced you'll find out your destination?
No, we found out we are playing in the CIT, which College Insider Tournament, and we're going to be playing against University of Pacific on Wednesday night at GCU. Now, we're not going to be able to play in our arena because we're renovating and putting the new seats in, so we're going to play in the Antelope Gym, which is the old gym, which holds right around 1,500. You know, we had a chance to go other places to play, but we thought we could play right there on campus. It'll be an intimate setting. It'll be packed. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a good atmosphere for GCU's first postseason tournament as a Division I team.
That's big news. UOP. Now, what do you know about Pacific?
They're pretty good. You know, they've had some big-time wins. They beat BYU, beat Fresno State. They play in a good conference. So they're going to be a good team. They'll be a great test for us, which is what we want. And so we're going to have to play well. I think it's going to help that we are playing in that small gym, and it'll be full of purple jerseys and purple shirts rooting us on. So we're going to have to play really well to win that game because Pacific's a good team. But it's going to be a good test for our guys, and they're excited.
University of Pacific, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on campus. GCU playing in the postseason. Dan Marley, head coach of the Lopes, with Brad Sismat for a couple of minutes here at the MGM Grand, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, and on Twitter at Brad Sismat. Is this game on television, do you know? I don't want people to not go, but do you have TV on this game?
Yeah, I believe Cox will be carrying it again. Same, you know, Cox have carried our whole season at home, so they will be there. And, you know, we're encouraging people to go, but as I said, it's not the same. You know, we won't have 5,000 tickets available, so there'll be 1,400, 1,500, I think, tickets available. So if you want to go, I suggest you call GCU and see if you can get some. But it's going to be a great time, and if not, support us though by watching the TV. And, we talked about it. This is the first step. We've had a great year this year. Nobody thought, you know, the big recruiting tool against us is we can't play in the postseason. Well, nobody thought in the first year we'd be playing in a postseason, and that's what we're doing. So we're very excited about it.
So, Dan, this is the CBI, the College Basketball Invitational Tournament. Is that right?
There is a CBI, which we are actually invited to play into, and this is called the CIT.
CIT, okay.
CIT. So go ahead.
No, it's just we're trying to piece this all together because this is good news for you, and I'm glad you're sharing it with us.
It's a 32 tournament team. You know, we get to host it, and we're going to play, and then we'll just, if you win, you keep going on. So, you know, it'll be exciting. So we're excited about it.
Is there a chance you'll host more than one game? I know you're going to give me the, we'll take it one game at a time, but is there a chance you could have more than one game at home?
Yes, there is a chance. I'm not exactly how it works, but there is a chance if we were to win on Wednesday that we could host again and continue to host for a while, I would think, or they just move you to another site where that team's going to host. So I think if we do win the game, then there is a chance that we can host again.
Who is in your bracket? Are there brackets like the NCAA's and NIT?
Yeah, there isn't brackets. It hasn't come out yet. I think they just play the first round. There's 32 teams, and then they reseed you or they reshuffle them. So you don't know. I think they try to keep you kind of close to the other teams, like in the West or whatever. So I think they reshuffle after the first game. So we won't know, you know, if we were to win, who we play next.
When you're scouting Pacific, you gave me a little bit on them. Is it just off word of mouth at this point? Were you able to get tape on them? How'd that go?
Yeah, I got my assistant coaches. They're busy getting tape. So when I get back Sunday, we gave the kids off. We practiced, and then we gave the kids off. We're going to give the kids off Saturday and Sunday. My assistant coaches are going through drills with them now. So we'll practice Monday and Tuesday, and we'll take that Monday and Tuesday and a Wednesday shoot around to go through Pacific. So, yeah, we're going to get tape on them, and it's interesting. The coach at Idaho, Verland, is his twin brother is the coach at Pacific. So I'm sure the Pacific coach will have an extensive scouting report on our team because his twin brother coaches for Idaho, who's in our league.
15-14 in year number one. I know the wins and losses, you want that to be better than, and you're not done yet. But by and large, are you pleased with the direction you're at here in year one? You're going postseason. I would think you're at where you want to be or maybe even ahead in year one.
Oh, I'm ecstatic. I mean, they expected us to finish last in the WAC.
Right.
For us to even be 500 or above 500, with the team that's transitioning from Division II to Division I, basically with the same team that they had last year, I mean, I couldn't be happier with the record at 15-14. It's better than I expected. I think it's better than anybody expected. So I couldn't be happier. I think we're moving. I know we're moving in the right direction. We're having we'll have 20 home games next year. We have Kentucky and Indiana on our schedule on the road. Coming into GCU, we have New Mexico, we have Tulsa, we have Harvard, we have Buffalo. We have some really, really good teams coming. So we're going to play a terrific schedule. Like I said, 20 home games, got some great teams coming in, and we're playing Kentucky and Indiana on the road. So it's going to be an exciting time for Grand Canyon. It's only going to get better. We got to do a good job as coaches, continue to recruit, keep getting better players, and establish a culture. And when this 4 years is over, ready to get into the tournament.
So the 4 years, I'll let you go off this. The 4 years, I've heard rumblings that maybe that four-year window is not going to be 4 years, that it could be less than that. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, we heard there was going to be two, and they're going to make an appeal or whatever. So, you know, I don't concern myself with that. Obviously, it would be great if they were to reduce that, but that's nothing I can do about it. So we're preparing to be as good as we can next year and build on what we did this year, and then again do that as the years go by. So you couldn't say anything more about this year, but it's been a great success. I'm proud of our players. Killian Larson was the first team all WAC. Jerome Garrison was the second team all WAC, first team all defensive. Daniel Alexander was the first team or was an all newcomer. So we've had some great success in that first year, and I'm glad that our guys, you know, bought in and they see the results. And it's been a great, great year.
Good talking to you. I'll see you Wednesday night. I think it's pretty cool you've got a home game in the postseason in your first season. Stay well, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Brad. Thank you.
You got Dan Marley there for a couple of minutes. What do you make out of that, Eric? That's, you know, just when you think, okay, one of us has to go with ASU.
I know where I'll be Wednesday night, so I know where I'll be Wednesday
you
night.
You now have decided.
Yeah, it'll be like turn back the clock, going to watch the Lopes play at GCU, 1,500 people. It's going to be a good setting.
And hot.
They're playing Pacific. It's pretty cool. And to see what he has coming in next year and where their team is going next year, Big things ahead of GCU. So
yeah, Kentucky and Indiana on the road. It's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
15 wins, first year in Division One.
So there's something, guys. If you're a hoopaholic, because I'm a hoopaholic, I'm one of these guys that will go to games wherever they may be. You know, I'll go out to San Diego this week and do the show around U of A, assuming they go there. I think Jared, now you're going with ASU. Have a nice time going to Buffalo.
That'll be fun.
Or Tampa.
You
or
saw
Raleigh.
The Today Show yesterday and what the weather looked like in Buffalo.
Raleigh.
I don't have the clothes for that, guys. You know? I don't have the clothes for that, so we're going to have to figure something out.
Oh, man. We're going to be all over the place next week. On the other side, goody at the movies. We're at the MGM Grand poolside. Brad Sussmat, Eric Sorensen, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. Thanks to Bill Frieder and Dan Marley. Goody at the Movies is next. Stay with us.
We're on your mobile phone and tablet at sports360az.com.
Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and there's much more to the world of sports coming from Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, Grand Budapest Hotel comes out, Goody had his Wofford shirt on, he is all excited because his team has made the postseason. Life must be really good for Bill Goodykunz. Brad Sussmat with you, poolside at the MGM Grand at the Pac-12 tournament. Life sounds good when I put it like that, except I had to sit through Arizona State in person last night, and they were a train wreck. Bill, how are you?
I'm good. I was going to say, you're sitting here saying this stuff about me, that I'm sitting here wearing a T-shirt from my friend's college or whatever, and then you, the way you describe yourself is, I'm sitting poolside by Las Vegas.
Yeah, like I'm all that in a bag of chips, except I have a really bad basketball team up here that that made me just cringe that I wasted jet fuel and hotel fare to come watch that slop last night, so...
Yeah, I read your...
You're a big March Madness guy, right?
Oh, are you kidding? You know what, I was just telling my kids this, and you and I have talked about this before, that, you know, when the tournament had 32 teams, which I'm old enough to remember, my dad and I watched every minute that was... And not every minute was shown on TV, by the way. This is before ESPN and all that. But the thing for us, where I grew up, the ACC tournament was, without question, a bigger deal. Because only one team was going to come out of the ACC. And so it was do or die. It was make or break. And one of the highlights of my dad's life was my uncle, who was a newspaper editor, was able to get him a couple of tickets, and he and a friend went to the ACC tournament. And this won't mean anything to anybody, but it was a year that the first year they didn't have it in Greensboro. They had it at what was in the Capitol Center in D.C., and Virginia, behind Wally Walker, upset North Carolina
Wally
and won
Walker.
It. Wally Wonderful. So the one that we've talked about before was the year that, you know, David Thompson, that NC State team in 1974, they beat a Maryland team in the greatest game ever played. I've never seen a game that well, 103-100. And Maryland had Lynn Elmore. Maryland had Brad Cusack. Maryland had John Lucas. And they were stunned. And I remember texting you when you were talking to Lynn Elmore, ask him about it because he still hates to talk about it. And it was true. But that's not as dramatic.
No, that's right.
I don't think it's dramatic as it was anymore. Certainly the conference things are. I mean, yeah, like, and I saw what you wrote today, and I think that was really good. It'll give you a barometer of what these guys look like going into the tournament. But you know already who's going and who isn't. I mean, they're sure. I mean, like my friend Michael Young is a head coach at Wofford College. Huge plug for Michael. This is their third tournament appearance in five seasons, which is huge for a team like Wofford and a school like Wofford. But, yeah, I mean, they need a tournament to get in. But by and large, you already know who's in.
No, I get that. But here's the thing on March Madness. The numbers show that the interest has declined in March Madness. Now, why is that? You can have the Woffords of the world that come on board, the smaller schools that come in. But I believe that when you have kids like Wiggins at Kansas or Aaron Gordon at U of A, and they turn pro after one season, and the quality of basketball that we've seen on the college end, fans haven't gotten to know these kids enough. These kids are in for 1 year. They're out. Most of them are not even there for a year. They're out like 4 or 5 months. Thus, the ratings have slipped for March Madness. Thus, the interest in March Madness, it's turned into a gambling deal. I mean, if it's not for gambling on the games, I don't think there's near the interest in this tournament.
Oh, I agree. I mean, you fill out a bracket. I fill out a bracket. Everybody fills out a bracket. You know, I want to win, you know, Warren Buffett's bracket. I want to win, you know, all that money. But as something to watch, I think you're right. And I think to turn college basketball in general, you know, the one and done, and certainly hurt the NBA because nobody can play anymore. I mean, you know, not the way they did. But imagine, you know, Wiggins or Parker sticking around for, you know, 2 years. Dream big. Imagine them around for 3 years. Imagine not only how much better they would be, but how invested fans would be in those teams. it doesn't happen.
No, I agree. When you and I were in, and this will sound like old man get off my lawn deal, but when we had Ralph Sampson and we had Patrick Ewing and we had Akeem Olajuwon and we had the dominant teams year after, when we had UNLV up here in the early 90s, I could recite to you that it was Larry Johnson and George Ackles and Anderson Hunt and Greg Anthony and Stacey. I mean, Stacey, I can go right down. Yeah. I mean, there's.
I'm not a starting lineup of all those teams.
Sure. You know, there was with Patrick Ewing, Reggie Williams was a big part. My point is, nowadays, fans can't grab onto them as much as they used to. That's why this tournament we're at now, I think for me, I'm more into this than I am next week when I go wherever U of A goes. They're going to crush, most likely, these teams that they're playing. And I'm watching U of A's fun, but I don't really know Aaron Gordon all that well. And he certainly isn't ready to go into the NBA, but he will. Yeah. Let me get over the movies a bit. Grand Budapest Hotel. So when I saw the previews of this, it was, wow, I really want to see this. This looks like a terrific cast.
Well, you are not wrong. It's great. It's a story inside a story inside a story. It's a Wes Anderson movie. He made Bottle Rocket and Rushmore. Rushmore, one of my all-time favorites. And you know, all these kind of weird offbeat films. Moonrise Kingdom, which I think is great. And now he's doing this. And what he's really good at is he creates these little worlds, you know, that are like nothing else. And this one is a good one. But the thing that's different about this one is it's not just funny and offbeat and kind of weird. It's also, it gets a little heavy, and a little serious. Not in an in-your-face way, but it's a movie that's set between the two world wars. And while it's in a fictitious kingdom and they don't call the soldiers Nazis, that's clearly who they are. And you see what's coming. But man, it's, I really recommend it.
Is it a chick flick or is it more than that?
It's an everybody flick. It doesn't really fall into any of those categories. You know what it is? It's a Wes Anderson flick, and it's that people either like them or they don't. And I'll tell you what's also interesting. Ralph Fiennes, who you know you think of as a serious Shakespearean actor, and he is for a good reason. He is in it, and he's hilarious. He's really funny. And I spoke to him, and he was clearly elated to do something different. To do something that different. He's, by the way, he's a pretty smart guy.
Well, but don't you find that with some of these guys that, like Bill Murray's in this, right?
Yeah.
And Jeff Goldblum's in this. Yeah, and so there's some people that I've looked at through the years. Jeff Goldblum has been in some really good movies, and then he's been in some movies that's like, what are you thinking? Angela Lansbury, I've always liked Angela Lansbury. Bill Murray did, what was the one he did on The President here about a year and a half, 2 years ago?
FDR movie, where he played FDR.
The FDR movie. Yeah, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't anything too over the top, I didn't think. But, he, you know, people look at him as Caddyshack still, and Stripes, and Ghostbusters. So I kind of like that he's doing this.
I got to say that there's not many actors. It used to be like, when I was a kid, there were certain bands that whatever album they released, I would buy it. And if it was good or bad, it didn't matter. I would still buy it because I wanted everything they had. Bill Murray's one of those guys where pretty much if he's in it, I'll see it. And
have you done him before? You talked to him before?
No, and he's really strange about, well, he's strange about a lot of things. They, you know, maybe we've discussed this. You know, the way he works is he sends scripts to a P.O. box. He doesn't have an agent. And once a month or so, he goes down to the P.O. box and he looks at what he's got. And if he likes it, he'll get in touch with you. So if you're making a movie, I talked to the guy that made the movie Get Low, which was Bill Murray and Robert Duvall, really good movie. And he said, yeah, I mean, he said, I wanted Bill Murray, I had Robert Duvall, I sent him a script, and I just had to sit there and wait. And there's something, he's so quirky. And you know what's also great is, like, he does this stuff, though, like, where he shows up at fraternity parties and stuff, and maybe you've heard about it, like, he'll walk down the sidewalk behind somebody and tap them on the shoulder, and when they turn around and look at him, he'll say, nobody's ever going to believe you. And then he'll just walk away.
He has a house out where I grew up. It's in Southern California in Palma Valley. And I understand that he occasionally will just show up at the country club out there. It's a gated community. I played golf there a year ago, and people were telling me some stories about him. But he's kind of a recluse in that way, just kind of sits out of sight, out of mind.
Well, I mean, it probably gets old all these many years later to have somebody coming up to you and say, you know, this is a whole, you know, Cinderella story or whatever, you know.
Well, I remember when they had him show up, he was at Waste Management a couple times back when it was FBR, and you would hear that the whole way through. He played in the Pro-Am, and you're right. I mean, that's what he was known for. So I could see how that – but you're saying back on the movie, you're saying go see that. What else that's come out this week?
Go see it. You should also go see –
What else this week?
Go see Veronica Mars. If you like the show, that's a no-brainer. And Veronica Mars was a show that was on CW Network, which then folded, then they moved it to UPN, and then they canceled it after three seasons. People complained, as they always do. They did stuff. They sent the network stuff. Please give us another season. Wouldn't do it. The creator of the show, Rob Thomas, and the star, Kristen Bell, they wanted to do a movie, and Warner Brothers said no. So as a last-ditch effort, Rob Thomas and Kristen Bell started a Kickstarter campaign where, you know, you can make online contributions. They told fans if they could get $2 million in about 3 weeks, they thought they could do a movie. They had $2 million in 10 hours. And they ended up getting about $5.7 million. So there's been a lot of interest in this from people who are beyond, like, Veronica Mars fans. Veronica Mars fan, the show, was one of those shows where she plays at the time, a teenage detective. Now she's, of course, all grown up. But but it's one of those shows, kind of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I'm a huge fan of, where they really get high school. They really get it without condescending to young people, but they also show it in a way that's recognizable to adults. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what that was like. And so you don't have to have seen the show to like the movie because it's kind of good on its own, but you would certainly enjoy it a lot more.
She was in Frozen, wasn't she? Kristen Bell?
She was the main person in Frozen, yeah, and she's been in a lot of stuff. She was in Saving Sarah Marshall, and yeah, she's done a lot of stuff. But Veronica, you know, I talked to her before too, and I said, you know, you could do Veronica roles till you're 40, and she's like, and I would be happy to do it. and they never say stuff like that. They want to be when they're done with something, they want to be done. Well, I like Bill Murray and Caddyshack. I mean, they move on. To me, that's something I can keep watching and watching and watching. To those guys, it's something they did 30 years ago, and they've done 27 things since. You know?
I'll be in touch. I owe you a phone call, so I'll be in touch.
Oh, are you going to stick it out? You going to see the rest of the tournament?
Am I going to stick it out? I don't know. Eric's going to be up here. We've got tournaments all over the place coming up, so I'm going to be on the road, but I'll be in touch with you. I'll give you a call. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill Goodykins, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central, of course. They just opened up the pool here, so we're getting run over with people, which is fine. We have no problems with that here at the MGM Grand. This is the day where a lot of dudes that should have shirts on don't have shirts on, but they've got the hat on backwards. They've laid their money out already at the sports book this morning, and they want to just get onto the pool and then go to games tonight. I'm not describing you, am I?
No, and it is interesting because as of like 35 seconds ago, we were pretty much out here by ourselves.
Right.
And now we're surrounded by people in bathing suits.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they wait until 11 o'clock to open the pool on a Friday. Maybe it's to be respectful of the people who are, finger quotes, sleeping in this morning in Vegas.
Yeah, so, or they can't get their eyes open because they had a rough night last night.
Something like that.
There's nothing wrong with that. A couple of things before we wrap up hour number one here that are on my mind. Because we're going to get more into the basketball end of things. We've done a lot here with Bill Frieder and Dan Marley. The Diamondbacks yesterday, so Archie Bradley finally had that rough outing, and I'm fine with that because as spring training progresses, if you don't have that rough outing, it's going to hit you at some point. They call it the dead arm period, or it's just that fatigue of being in spring training. It's like, okay, guys, I got this stuff. I want to face real competition. So Archie Bradley yesterday, 4 runs in just 2 innings. They lost to the Mariners by a score of 6-3. I still can't imagine a scenario where he doesn't start with the big club. Now, today, Rando Delgado's pitching. I mean, that may be the only way to go. If you look at the next week, they leave this Sunday. The Diamondbacks leave Sunday night. The Dodgers leave Sunday night. They fly to Australia. Well, they'll play their games in Australia. They'll do some workouts. Next Thursday and Friday is the opening of the season. It's actually Friday, Saturday over there. So they'll get on a plane, come back Sunday in Australia, and they actually will get back 5 hours earlier than when they left into Phoenix. Follow me here? And that's why teams' body clocks are all jacked up when they come off this trip, and people are like, was this really a good thing for us to do?
I wonder if the Diamondbacks hold off on Bradley because they don't want him to fall into the same trap that Trevor Bauer did if there is not that early season success. Because Bauer was on the fast track, he got here, he struggled, and you know how the movie ended with that.
But I think,
they're two different people. They're two different pitchers, two different personalities. Yes. But yes.
I've talked to Archie Bradley enough.
Yep.
I've talked to him enough now that I...
Great head on shoulders.
This guy's not Trevor Bauer at all. And we liked having Trevor Bauer on because he was quirky.
Thoughtful.
He was different. He was unique. Yeah, I am. And I think you're the same way. Give me something more than fastball, curveball, changeup. Give me something more than blocking and tackling. Give me something interesting. That you're actually more than just this guy on the field who's a robot, as most guys are in this day and age in sports. And
Archie Bauer was a rapper, so I
know. Yeah. And the raps that he had were not good. So, guy just walked by with a U of A shirt on that says "Bear the Bleep Down." You saw a shirt that had hashtag, what was it?
Hashtag, he touched the ball, which is a great one. Sean Miller's rant a year ago after the loss to, I believe it was UCLA, and where it started all the Pac-12 officiating drama controversy. He touched the ball, hashtag red shirt. Really, really funny. Like, I actually took the time to stop the lady. So, you know what? I really like your shirt. And she just kind of smiled like, yeah, you're the 30th person that's told me that this morning.
Yesterday, Eric and I, after we finished the show, we went in to watch the U of A game. And as we're walking in, who was it? Who is it we saw? The head of the NFL? Who was it we saw?
My mind is blanking.
Mike Pereira.
Thank you, Mike Pereira, head of officiating.
So we saw Mike Pereira, and I'm thinking...
Former head of officiating.
They got to have some people here to do officiating, right? Because this thing's been jacked up. So here's Mike Pereira here to review everything.
I'm here all night. Thank you, folks.
And it was, what would you say, 80%, 90% people wearing red?
Yeah. Yesterday's ASU or U of A Utah game, I mean, the Utah fans were wearing red, but it was Mikhail North up here in Vegas. So.
And tonight will be just ridiculous.
It will be even worse.
One of the things I liked about last night was when a U of A chant broke out during the ASU game, because the ASU game was so bad, and the ASU fans were just drilled into the ground. And this U of A chant broke out, and there was nothing that the ASU fans could do, because it was just as bad as the team was on the floor. There was no air or energy. The ASU fans get mad at me. Truth hurts. Win games. Really not that hard. Poolside at the MGM Grand, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat on Twitter, @BradSussmat.